you lift your hands and praise him this morning. He's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. Hallelujah. He's the light in the midst of the darkness. That's who he is. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. That's who he is for you. That's who he is for me. That's who he is for us. Hallelujah. You think about your situation this morning. I'm telling you, he is a way maker. Praise him. Hallelujah. Worship him. Even though the answer you haven't seen it yet, even though you don't feel it yet, worship him. Worship him. He is good. He is worthy of your worship. He's worthy of your praise. He's working on your behalf. Even when you don't see him. Hallelujah. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. Come on, let's play with us. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working.
I worship you, a maker. praise in my house. Give you praise in my house. Hallelujah. Anybody thankful for the presence of God in this place? Hallelujah, hallelujah, Holy Spirit, hallelujah. Would you just lift your hand and say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Have your way in this place. Have your way in me, Lord. Have your way in me. Holy Spirit, move as you desire, as you will. Hallelujah. This is your service, Lord. It's not mine. It's not anybody else's that's here. It's your service, God. We are your people. We're the sheep of your pastures. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to you. Stay in the spirit of worship as our ushers are coming. They're going to wait on you. You're not coming up today. Just worship God. Hallelujah. Will you worship the Lord with your offering with the same intensity and passion today? Because He's worthy. He's good. He's great. He's provided for your every need. Father, we worship you in this offering. We worship you at this tithe today. Father, I pray that you touch the hearts of your people and supply every need in their lives. Rebuke the devourer for their sake in the name of Jesus as they honor you in Jesus' name. Worship the Lord as you give. Hallelujah. Even think. Hallelujah. It's not bigger than God. I'm telling you this morning, it's not bigger than Him. It's not bigger than Him. Hallelujah. Somebody help me pray in faith. Help me to praise and worship in faith. Intercede in faith. Breakthrough. Breakthrough in the name of Jesus. We declare it. We declare it. We declare breakthrough. Hallelujah. May sin be broken in your mind. Sin broken in your heart and your spirit. May your life be changed and transformed through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moving in your life. Praise the Lord. There is a way maker. There's a miracle worker in the house. He's able. I said He is able. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we even ask or even think. Praise His name. The devil is defeated. He is a liar and the father of lies. There is a deliverer in the house. There's a way maker in the house. It may look dismal. It may look bleak. It may look impossible. But with men, things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. The Holy Spirit is doing a great work in this place. Exodus chapter 14, rather. Exodus 14, if you would turn there with me. Exodus 14. Hallelujah. Exodus 14, if you would please stand with me as we read God's word. Thank you, Jesus. Moving of your Holy Spirit in this house. Praise the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse number 10, and when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. Everybody say today.
Today.
For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward. Everybody say, go forward. But lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And indeed, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. So I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, his chariots, and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. Would you stretch your hand toward me and pray with me and for me today? Heavenly Father, right now, we're asking, Lord, for a heavy anointing to rest upon us. The anointing of the Holy Spirit. You're already here. You're moving in our midst. I believe you've been preparing our hearts for the Word. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that nothing would distract, nothing would be able to hinder the moving of the Spirit in our hearts and the Word taking root in our lives. Change us, Lord, and transform us. Set every captive free. God, give us the strength Give us the courage. Give us the faith to move forward from where we are right now. To not stay where we are, but to move on. To move forward with the call that you placed upon our lives. With the vision that you have given us. Help us to see in the Spirit what we need to see. And help us to catch that vision, God, and move forward. Help us not to move backwards, Lord, and have the spirit of Egypt always hounding us. But God, help us to move forward with the Spirit of God, who is leading us into freedom and deliverance and a bright future. That is what we hold on to. That's what we grasp to today. And we believe it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said with me, amen, amen. Thank you so much. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. If you remember several weeks ago, I preached from Exodus chapter 3 on a closer look. Moses took a closer look because God was speaking to him out of the midst of the fire. He had a revelation experience, and he began to realize that God still had a plan for his life, and that his life wasn't over, even though he had been in the wilderness for 40 years. And he thought that it was over, and there's no way in the world that God could ever use him or even care about him, much less because he was a murderer. Did you hear what I said? He was a murderer. He had murdered an Egyptian and hid him in the sand and hoped that nobody would find out, but somebody saw him do it. How many know we talked about the Apostle Paul, who was also, he was Saul at the time, who was also a murderer. He was bringing threats against the Lord's church. And we talked about David, who had slept with Bathsheba and had her husband killed on the battlefield, who was also a murderer. If God could use Moses, and if God could use Paul, and if God could use David, then surely he can use you and me, and he can pull us out of the situation we're in and give us hope and give us a future. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. He said, I've come to give you a hope, and I've come to give you a future. The way it is right now doesn't have to be the way it will always be. Can I just tell somebody here this morning, there is hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is breakthrough in him. Hallelujah. He's a way maker, even when you don't see it, and even when you don't feel it. I'm telling you, God is at work.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. As we move forward, I've been reading the book of Exodus. And the Lord has just been stirring me in the book of Exodus about moving forward, about going forward in faith, about getting after the vision. Having to, you've got to get after it sometimes. You can't just settle for status quo. You just can't settle for the way things have been. You've got to get, if you want things to change in your life, you want things to change in your family, you want things to change in your church, then you've got to get after it. Turn to somebody beside you and say, get at it. You've got to get after it. You've got to get after it. You know, somebody said, and we've heard this over and over again, if you keep doing the same things over and over and over again, expecting to get a different result, that's the definition of insanity, right? So, as a church, we're saying it's time to move forward. It's time to move on with what God has for us. It's time to stop dwelling on the past. It's time to stop dwelling on what if and what about this and what about that. It's time to say, you know what, God is sending a fresh move of his Holy Spirit right now, and he wants to move you and I forward. Hallelujah. You see, God could have given the Israelites an easier path. But instead, the Bible tells us that he led them down the longer road, the longer route. How do you know that God's process for your life is not always about the shortest distance? It's not always about what is easier. That's what we've been learning in this Sunday school class about the wilderness. The wilderness is actually a gift for us. God brings us to those places of suffering and pain and trials and tribulation and wilderness experiences so he can get our attention and focus us in on what his plan is for our lives and grow us up in the process. See, God led them down the south road, and when they got down there, they got trapped by the Red Sea, and then Pharaoh had a change of mind, as he often did in this entire process, saying, we need them back in our economic system. He said, okay, go ahead and leave. And then he would have a change of heart. And God was at work in that. Why was God at work in that? Because God wanted to reveal his glory, his power, so that his people would know the only way they could get delivered, the only way they could be free, is if he stepped in and did it. Can I just tell somebody here this morning, you've got some situations in your life. If God doesn't intervene, if God doesn't do it, it won't get done. But that's why you will know, hallelujah, that's why you will know that he alone is worthy of praise, because you couldn't do it. Your creativity wasn't good enough. Your plan wasn't good enough. But I'm telling you, God is able. When he steps in, he will get the glory. He will get the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As soon as the Israelites saw and heard that Pharaoh was coming after them, they panicked. They began to cry out, and they overreacted. Sounds like us, doesn't it? When we get in a pickle in our lives, we start panicking. We start overreacting. I believe the Spirit of God is trying to tell us in these days, you've got to stop panicking. You've got to stop overreacting. You've got to rest in my promises and rest in my goodness. The Lord is fighting for you. He is fighting for me. Hallelujah. He is our refuge and our fortress. He's our strong tower, and we can run into him and we can find safety. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
They panicked. They said, why have you dealt so with us to bring us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? Would it not have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness? Are you kidding me? You really think it would have been better? You were groaning and complaining about your taskmasters in Egypt and how horrible it was. Do you really think it would be better for you to go back to Egypt? How do you know that your theology is important? How you think about God and how you view God toward you in your life. How do you know that is important?
Yes.
Because how you picture God will determine how you picture yourself and how you understand everything that happens in your life. Don't tell me your theology is not important. The Israelites were saying, well, God brought us out of Egypt. He performed all these miracles. He led us out here for the sole purpose of killing us in the wilderness. Somebody needs to hear this morning. God has not brought you out of bondage. He's not brought you out of sin so that you can be miserable or go right back into the captivity that you're in. He brought you out to keep you out. He brought you out to take you into abundance. He brought you out to take you into a place of peace and prosperity and goodness and favor. For all of the plans that I have for your life, they're good plans or good thoughts to give you a hope and to give you a future. Our God wants to give us the abundant life. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have a life and have it more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I want to embrace the abundant life in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He didn't bring you out so you could go right back in. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with which Christ has made you free. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I'm going to tell you what bondage is. Bondage is legalism is bondage. Holding on to traditions that no longer have an effect anymore, that's bondage. If traditions are working, then they're working to fulfill your vision, then keep practicing them. But if traditions no longer work to fulfill that vision, it's time to axe them.
Right.
We'll talk more about that later. See, your theology is important. Study of God, the knowledge of God. Yet sometimes God takes us all down the long road. We feel like we're never going to make it home. But that is where trust in God comes into play. You have to trust that he's actually for you. He's not against you. And what he's doing is actually for your benefit, to help grow you up and to bring maturity in your life. Isn't that what James chapter 1 is telling us? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work. Don't you miss that phrase. You've got to let it work or it won't. If you fight against it, if you kick against it, if you're constantly resisting what God is trying to do, then I'm telling you something. You'll have to stay in the wilderness a lot longer because you're not learning what you need to learn. The reason I can say that with assurance is because I've been there. If you'll submit to God in the midst of it, God, what are you trying to show me? What are you trying to teach me? What do I need to change about me in this process? Because you know what we want to do? God, I want you to change him. And I want you to change her. And I want you to change everybody else. Instead of God, I want you to look inside of me and shine your Holy Ghost flashlight on my heart and show me what needs to be changed right here. And when you start doing that, God starts changing people around you. He starts changing situations around you. Why? Because you're changing. See, they had this mentality. They had this mentality of things were better back there. How many know the churches get stuck in that? Things were better back there. Listen, we're not living in that time period anymore.
Amen.
We're living in 2019 right, with a whole different culture. Whole different time period. How do you know that God hasn't changed? His word hasn't changed, and it never will. But methods often have to change because, listen, because times change and culture changes. I got about three amens on that one. But it's still the truth, whether you agree with it or not. God tells his people over and over in his passages to fear not. To fear not. Why is that so important? Why do we not need to fear? Why? Because here's the reason why. Because God, someone needs to remember this. God is in charge. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, God is in charge.
Right.
In charge.
Isaiah 43:1 says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. Why should we not fear? Because Psalm 27 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Stop panicking and stand firm in the promises and the goodness and the power of God.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
If God was faithful yesterday, won't he be faithful today?
Yes.
The same God who poured out the plagues on the Egyptians to deliver his people, will he not make a way now for you and me?
Yes.
Will he not make a roadway in the wilderness? May I remind you one more time, he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He's light in the midst of the darkness. That's who he is. That's God Almighty. And you can put your trust in him when it seems like there's no way out, when it seems like there's no way this will ever get better. God steps in and shows himself mighty and strong. Hallelujah. And he said, be still. He said, calm down. Chill out. Know that I am God. Don't get all beside yourself, wringing your hands. What am I going to do? How do you know that God is at work? He's in charge. He is able. Start looking ahead. Stop focusing on what was. You know, this is a message for you individually, but it's also a message for the church. Stop focusing on what was in the past. Hallelujah. You know what Paul said? He said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing on towards those things which are before me, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing on. Hallelujah. I'm pressing on. Anybody here willing to press on? Start looking ahead. It's amazing to me that when the problems came, they started talking about what was. The answer for what you're dealing with is not necessarily going back to the way things were. And I would encourage you to stop measuring the success of today. Don't you miss this. Stop measuring the success of today by the standards of yesterday. Did God move then? Yes. Praise God for him moving then. But here's what we've got to understand. God can move today in a different way than he moved then, but it's still the same God.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, Lord, somebody Amen. Help me here. It's still the same God. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I like what John Bevere said. He said religious spirits will always hold on to what God did while resisting what God is doing. I don't know about you, but I don't want a religious spirit. I want a spirit that's in relationship with the Lord, has a vibrant one-on-one communion and fellowship and intimacy with God. Hallelujah. I praise God for what he did, but I praise him for what he's doing right now and what he's going to do moving forward. Come on, give me praise. This book has just been ministering to me, and it's been ministering to a lot of different people. I praise God because God has given us this study for such a time as this, for this season that we're in. I encourage you to get a hold of it. If you haven't read this book yet, you haven't started reading it, you need to read it. It's called God, Where Are You by John Bevere. Because every one of us will be in wilderness seasons eventually. You will go through a number of them in your life. But I like what he said here in this regard. He said, he's talking about the heavenly prize and moving forward and seizing that prize. He said, the second thing we must do to finish our race for God is to forget those things, victories, and defeats that are behind us. Once again, here's what God says in Isaiah 43. But forget all that. It is nothing compared to what I'm going to do. Anybody here believe that revival is still ahead of us? Anybody believe that God is already starting that revival in the church? Because there's a hunger that's being rebirthed in the people. They're not satisfied with just going through the same old anymore. They're hungry for more. They're hungry for a move of God. They're hungry for the power of God. It may not look like it did yesterday, but praise God, I'm just hungry for whatever you, I'm hungry for more. I'm hungry for you, God. He said, it's nothing compared to what I'm going to do, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Past failures, rejections, or sins, if dwell along, will hinder us from moving forward in Christ. However, the triumphs of our past can hold us back as well. If we feel overconfident and sure of ourselves and begin to rely on past accomplishments to sustain and validate us, we will miss what God has for us now. This is exactly what God is saying in Isaiah 43. The former things were of him, but in order to keep moving forward to accomplish what he intends for us, we must be ready to leave the ways God moved through us in the past. If we don't, we are in danger of becoming an old wineskin. We must forsake the way God has moved through us in the past, because that may not be the way he wants to move through us now and into the future. Some of your wheels are turning. I'm trying to figure that out. You see, we can't put God in a box anymore. I say, God, have your way. Whatever you desire. A backward vision will lead to a victim mentality. A mentality that says, I've been this way for so long, I can't imagine being any different. We need to come out of that victim mentality. I'm here to tell somebody your marriage can be different. Your children can be different. Your job situation can be different. Hallelujah. Your church can be different. Hallelujah. Anybody believe that with me? Yes. Hallelujah. There's a good different and there's a bad different, right? I want to be the good different. You remember in Numbers chapter 14 when God told them to spy out the land? You remember that? He said, send up spies and check it out. You remember what happened? They all came back. All the spies came back. They came back. Most of them, 10 of them, came back with a negative report. I want to read it to you in Numbers chapter 13, if you'll turn there with me. Let's look at it. Numbers chapter 13. The Bible says in verse number 26, 25, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. They departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran in Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless," oh my goodness, that nevertheless can get us in trouble, right? "Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Our enemies are everywhere. We're surrounded." Verse 30. "Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses." Why? Because Caleb,
hallelujah, hallelujah,
and Joshua had a different spirit. They had a moving forward spirit. They had a spirit that said, "I'm going to trust what God says. I'm going to obey what God says." And the same God that caused them, glory to God, and the same God that performed all of these miracles, the same God who poured out all these plagues on the Egyptians and delivered us out of the hand of Pharaoh, is the same God that's going to take us into the land he's called us to possess.
Yes, hallelujah.
He quieted the crowd and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Somebody needs to get that in their spirit this morning. We are well able. Raise your hands and say, "I am." Hallelujah. We are well able to overcome it because God has called us to. God has given us the land. God has given us the vision. God has given us victory. God has given us souls. God has given us the harvest. God has given us change. God has given us the fresh oil of His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He said, "Let us go up at once, for we are well able to overcome it." We are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we." How do you know that the spirit of defeat sets in when you focus your attention on how big your enemy is instead of focusing your attention on how big your God is? It's time to start putting the focus on God. No wonder the psalmist said, lift up your eyes to the hills from whence comes your help. Get your eyes off of everything else around you. Don't turn to the right or to the left. You lift your eyes to the hills from whence comes your help.
Yes.
Your help comes from the Lord,
yes,
the maker of heaven and earth. I'm here to tell the church this morning, we are well able to overcome. Somebody help me praise the Lord. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loved us and gave himself for us. It's time to move forward with the Lord. Hallelujah. You've got to settle the past. I'm trying to bring this to a close. You can't move forward until you settle the past. Egypt. That's what they continue to cry out constantly. If we only could just go back to Egypt. Really, you want to go back to sin. You want to go back to that old life. You want to go back to miserable life. Is that what you want? How do you know sometimes it gets worse before it gets better? And you've got to press through that season that you're in and trust God. Because what he has for you on the other side is going to be a whole lot better than what you're experiencing right now. So you got to push through it. Hallelujah. As long as you know you're in the smack dab middle of the will of God, then you can't let the doubts of the enemy constantly assail your mind and your spirit. You got to keep yourself in the word and keep yourself in prayer and remember the promises of God, because the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus, and you got to push through it. Somebody say push. You got to push. You got to push through it, because it's not always going to be easy. It's going to be tough a lot of times. It's going to be tough. But I'm here to tell somebody there is victory on the other side. It's worth the push. It's worth the travail. It's worth the heartache. It's worth the strength you've got to muster up to get to the other side. Settle the past. Settle it. Got to get unstuck. Some people are just stuck. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be stuck. You can think about all these different areas of your life. Don't get stuck in a rut. I stepped on the, I know you probably can't tell it, but I stepped on the weighing machine this morning. I weighed more than I've ever weighed in my life. Kevin says it was a good vacation. So my wife and I decided we're going on a diet, because we're going to lose some weight. I don't like how some of my suits don't want to fit like they used to. Right? I'm having to, suck it in. I don't like that. Here's what I mean. I bring this up for a purpose. If you want something to change in your life, you got to do something about it. Right? I mean, if you want to get in shape, you got to start working out. If you want to lose some weight, you got to eat better. This is just one example. I mean, if you want to get closer to God, you got to develop a prayer life. You got to do something different than you were doing before. You can't just keep doing the same old thing expecting to get a different result.
Right.
You can't just eat cake every day and expect to lose weight. Hello, somebody. The preacher stopped preaching and went to bed. Right? Let's have a workout. Yeah. The spiritual workout, but also a physical workout. You got to do something different. You got to make some changes. And listen, that's what we're trying to do as a church. We're trying to take a fresh look at where we are. What do we need to change to move the church forward? We have to decide, I want to be a part of what's on the other side. Because God said, come forward. Move forward. Move forward. Lean on me, depend on me. That's why prayer and fasting is so important. We've developed an initial plan. You've had it in your hands the last couple of weeks. We've got a lot more work to do with that plan. But listen, we've got to do something different. If it doesn't work, we'll try something different. But you can't keep doing what you've been doing expecting something to change. How many of you are willing to move forward as a church? We've got about 5 people. That's great. Raise your hand if you're willing to move forward as a church. You want to be part of it. You want to be part of the solution. Some people want to point out all the problems, but they don't want to be part of the solution. You need to do this and you need to do that. Well, how about we all come together? Get on the same team. We're going to fight the devil together. We're going to see the glory of God poured out in our midst. It's time to stop murmuring and complaining. It's time to move on. Are you here, this pastor today? Move on. Move forward.
Amen.
There's a lot of things I can't change that's happened. But you can't change them either.
Right.
There's a lot of things, believe me, I wish I could have changed. But I can't change individual decisions and consequences that come because of that in people's lives. Can't change it. I know a God who says, stop focusing on what was,
yes,
and move on.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you embrace that attitude and that spirit, that Caleb and Joshua spirit that says, let us go up at once and let us take possession of the land. If you embrace that with me, would you stand and give God praise and worship in this place? And lift up your hands and lift up your voices and say, he's a way maker. He's a miracle worker. He's a promise keeper. He said, oh Lord, he said, I've given you a harvest. He said, I've given you a plan. He said, I've given you a land to take. It's time to move forward. Move on in Jesus' name. Move forward. I want to have that different spirit that says, you know what? We can do it because God said it. He's given it to us. God said. And if we will just obey and do what God said, we'll see the benefits from it. Amen? In your individual life as a church, do what God said. Breakthrough is on its way. Hallelujah. Would you meet me down at this altar this morning? I just sense that somebody just feels that desire to pray and to seek the face of God. If you have that different spirit, that Caleb and Joshua spirit, you want to possess, you want to operate in that and live in that spirit, then I want you to meet me here at this altar. Come as quick as you can. Here I am, God. I'm saying I want to go up at once and possess the land that you have called me to possess. Hallelujah. Move forward. Move forward. I wonder if this altar would be filled with people hungry to move on, to move forward. Hallelujah. Move forward. Move forward. I'm not going to be stuck in the past. I'm not going to be stuck in what was. I'm not going to put God in my theological box and say he can't move in any other way. No, I'm going to say, God, I am open to whatever you want to do. I'm open, Lord. My heart is open. Would you just cry out to the Lord this morning, whether you're in the altar or in the pew, just cry out to God. Cry out to the Lord with me. Cry out to the Lord with me. Hallelujah. Father, I declare I'm going to move forward. I'm going to move on. I'm going to get after it, Lord. I'm going to get after it. I'm going to get after the vision that you put in my heart. Hallelujah. I'm going to get my eyes off the past and off of Egypt. I'm moving on to the promised land. I'm moving on to the land flowing with milk and honey. Glory to God. Peace and joy. Hallelujah. Will there be tough times ahead? Sure. I'm moving forward. As long as I'm moving forward, even if it feels like sometimes I'm taking some steps backward, I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward. I'm moving forward, Tom. I'm moving forward. Hallelujah. Moving forward in the name of Jesus. If you're moving forward, lift your hand up and say, Lord, I'm moving forward with you. I'm moving forward in the name of Jesus. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Reach over and pray for somebody beside of you and pray for the Holy Spirit to be poured out in their life. Pray for the power of God to be a demonstration in their life. Pray against discouragement.
Like a magic.
In Jesus' name, I'm moving on.